Well, we're going to switch gears here now, and we're going to speak with Rob Carr. Rob is the president and CEO of the Illinois Retail Manufacturers Association. Rob, good morning.
Morning, Rick. Retail merchants.
Well, you know what? I got confused because of seeing you at the Greg Bays event.
I know.
Greg Bays retiring after 27 years as the head of the Illinois Manufacturers Association. Rob, of course, with the Retail Merchants Association. And Rob, I wanted to have you on because I know that during the campaign for governor, J.B. Pritzker was very supportive of a $15 an hour minimum wage and has indicated that he sees that as something that he'd like to accomplish early in a first term, but it's uncertain how he wants to accomplish it. Most people think that it would be kind of a phased-in increase. Does that assuage any opposition to you by your organization?
No, it really doesn't. I think there's comfort in the fact that Governor-elect Pritzker has approached us and others with the idea of having conversations and getting input. We clearly understand what he wants to do. I think, though, that there needs to be significant discussion around what's good, for example, in the city of Chicago may not have the same impact in the suburbs, which may not have the same impact downstate. As you know, Rick, Illinois is a large state, diverse state, not just geographically but economically. And it does not take away our opposition. Obviously, anything would have to be phased in. You can't just jump from 13 to 15 or from 8:25 to 15. But I think there's other considerations that have to go into play as well.
So, I mean, is it possible to do like a regional variation?
Well, I think that's something that has to be discussed. There was a recent study put out by one of the usual suspects when it comes to $15 wage increase advocates, saying that it could be done without any impact. But the researcher for the city of Seattle, who was also pro 15, noted that their data took assumed economic stats for Chicago and applied them downstate, which you and I both know can't and shouldn't be done. So we have to look at things like that. We might have to look at business sizes. There's a number of variations, I think, that have to be looked at if indeed the state's going to go down this road.
As well as, I mean, when we talk about minimum wage, too, about different categories like restaurant workers who get tips, those kinds of things that exist in current law, right?
Right, you have the tip credit, and then I think you also have to look at who's the target, who is government trying to benefit here. Do we really want to incent teenagers or even younger adults who should be incented to be pursuing either a trade or a trade education or higher education? Do we really want to incent them to not pursue that? You know, at $15, had I been paid $15 or you'd been paid $15 when you were teenagers, that seems like an awful lot of money when you're that young. And it could have perverse impacts. So we really need to proceed slowly here and take a hard look at what we're really trying to do, again, if the state wants to pursue this, because it will have negative impacts.
With the low unemployment, isn't there the argument that the marketplace would kind of drive wages up?
I think we're seeing that. That's the argument we have long made, that the marketplace will drive it up, and we are seeing this strong labor market that has had that effect. We have seen national employers who have voluntarily committed to raising their wages to 13 or 15 nationwide over a period of time. What's important about that, though, is it's not a one size fits all. It is a company making a decision based on its financials and what it's willing to do. But what is interesting is, as you, I'm sure, have witnessed as well, some of those companies then followed up with cuts to other benefits or to hours or to headcount to help afford those increases. So again, everything has a cause and a reaction. Nothing just happens by itself in a vacuum.
It's not nothing static when it comes.
Nothing static. Yeah, that's exactly right. Nothing static. And I think the strong job market helps. But you and I both know that what goes up will come down. And when the next recession comes, it's never an if, it's always a when. The next recession comes, and depending how deep it is, that higher wage also then forces deeper cuts to help people weather the help companies weather the recession. So we have to be wary of that as well.
We're speaking with Rob Carr. He's the president and CEO of the Illinois Retail Merchants Association. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune here in the Allstate Skyline studio. And joining me on the phone is Rob Carr, president and CEO of the Illinois Retail Merchants Association. We're talking about the issue of the incoming Pritzker administration wanting to increase the minimum wage. And Rob, I guess, you know, everybody's kind of wondering as we go into this new world order in Springfield, a new governor, someone who is holding his first elected office. We've got expanded Democratic majorities in the Illinois House and Senate. But as far as with Pritzker, he's a successful businessman. Do you get a sense that this is somebody that the merchants, the manufacturers, that this is somebody they can work with?
Yeah, Rick, we made the decision, as you'll recall, Irma decided not to endorse in the gubernatorial election. We are of the belief, based on several interviews with the governor-elect himself, that while we disagree on issues, he is going to take a inclusive approach to decision making. That he's going to try to bring everybody together. I think that's something that most people will agree has been missing in Springfield for several years. He'll have his he'll have his work cut out for him, because not only will he have entities that don't normally align perhaps with his views, but he's going to have members of his own party who are taking already a no-compromise, our-way-or-the-highway approach. But I think you'll recall, we've been around long enough, Rick, that we recall that Illinois has really only worked well when everyone works together in bipartisan solutions to the problems. It's never really worked well. Illinois has never really prospered with a my way or a highway approach. So we are confident in the early stages here that he's going to take that approach. And, you know, only time will tell.
There's a part of me that kind of longs for the days of the agreed bill process.
you and me both, because you know we still have that for unemployment insurance. And that has continued to work well, but there sure needs to be a whole lot more effort at agreement.
Well, let me explain. So that's where you would get all of the people at the table, and basically you don't come out of the room until you guys got a deal. And
that's exactly right. And you know, we have the AFL-CIO is the point person for the labor side of the table. I'm the point person for the employer side of the table. We have representatives from each side, and we sit around the table and discuss the issues and come to an agreement. And that sends to all the policymakers the message of, listen, this is what everyone agrees to. This moves the unemployment insurance process forward, and it spares the policymakers, whether it's legislators or the governor, from having to choose between friends or make bad decisions. It also keeps the system stable. We don't have the wild swings we used to have, where one side's friends are in control and make favorable decisions, and then the next cycle somebody else's friends are in control. And so it served the system well over decades.
It's kind of like how it's the House Labor Committee when Democrats control things and the House Commerce Committee when Republicans control the chamber.
Right.
All in a name, right?
Right.
Rob, Tell me how what's the attitude of retailers in this holiday season? Are they sensing optimism? I mean, we had Ann Selzer on earlier saying nationally that there's a kind of an economic optimism among the public. Is that being reflected in holiday shopping?
Well, there's certainly optimism in the retail community. Now, you always have to point out retailers tend to be among the most optimistic all the time anyway. Even
I always think of you as the biggest optimist in the world.
they tend to take that view. And so, but they are clearly optimistic about this season. I know the National Retail Federation, their predictions, we're looking at something in the neighborhood of 4.8% increase when all is said and done. Over last year, which would be a very large increase. But let's say they're off. Let's say it's only 4%. That would still be a large increase. We're seeing good traffic. We saw good traffic over the Thanksgiving, Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, Cyber Monday time period. And we continue to see good traffic. So, yes, they're optimistic, Rick, as we head into these, go through these holiday seasons, that things will turn out well.
Yeah, 4% to 5% growth. That's some real numbers there.
That's some real numbers. And what's interesting is, online growth continues to, online sales continue to explode and do very well. But omnichannel is really raising eyebrows. Omnichannel is someone who's offering both brick and mortar, social media, online. That is where the action is really catching traction this holiday season. And I think it reflects the evolution of the industry as you see online getting into brick and mortar and brick and mortar developing their online and capabilities, which just serves to benefit the consumer.
That's Rob Carr. He's president and CEO of the Illinois Retail Merchants Association. Rob, as always, thanks for joining the show.
Oh, Rick, my pleasure. Always good to be with you. Have a great Sunday.
And have a great holiday.